Blog Talk Radio.
You think they really ready for
very far over many lands and seas. He was very shy, and there was so much sadness in his eyes, but very wise, so wise was he.
Marvin didn't try to be magic or charismatic and all that. He just was. Even when he sung the national anthem, I mean, it was Marvin Gaye. You know, it was just unique. It was special.
Can you see?
The man you're about to see and hear, should you be so foolish as to have just joined us, is Ray Charles.
Hello. All right. Three, four.
I got something, yo, in my my bones. Make me wanna shout hallelujah. And I wanna
sing on.
Lift every voice and sing, till it in heaven rain. Ring with the harmony, oh, let it be. Let our rejoice and rise high.
Turn in the
south and the north sea.
Partners in Community Building focuses on credit building, financial literacy, and home ownership for residents throughout Chicago and Illinois. All of our services are free. Call 312-328-0873 to get additional information on our homeownership counseling, rental assistance, Cook County foreclosure mediation, and small accessible repairs for seniors programs. PCIB is a HUD-certified nonprofit counseling agency committed to addressing the housing needs of all people. Call 312-328-0873 to schedule an appointment or visit us at www.pcibchicago.org.
For true inspiration, check out singer, songwriter, and radio personality Sylvia Fedrick. Sylvia, your sister under God's construction, brings to you her best in Christian contemporary gospel tunes, and they are available for download at www.sangsyl.com. That's SANGSYL.com. Or you can visit her profile at Chicago Black Business Network. For bookings, call Sassy Michelle at 512-914-4221.
Want to learn the secrets of the wealthy? Do you think that the wealthy sell their gold and silver, or do they buy gold and silver? Learn to create wealth, collect wealth, and preserve wealth for you and future generations. Find out how you can acquire free silver every month. Visit goldandsilverplan.com. That's goldandsilverplan.com. What you don't know can keep you struggling financially. What you know can change your life. Be in the know. Visit goldandsilverplan.com today.
Hey, you want more money in your pocket, right? Savers are losers, unless you save like the rich and beat inflation. The secret? Save the right kind of money. Pure, solid, 24-karat gold or silver for as little as $20 a week, direct from the mint. Don't spend money. Exchange bad money for good money. Start today at SaveMetalMoney.com. That's SaveMetalMoney.com. The chains of slavery in the modern world are not forged with links of iron, but with the bonds of limiting ideas and debt.
Be in business for yourself, but not by yourself. Team up with a company voted the 57th most promising by Forbes. With no money to collect from your customers, no credit checks, and no cost for you to join. Visit electricmoneyteam.com, 773-980-9288. That's electricmoneyteam.com, 773-980-9288.
Hi there, I'm the X-Man, Xavier Paul. I'm a national network voiceover talent. You've heard my voice represent hundreds of brands and businesses for the past 15 years. Well, now it's your turn. I understand how important it is to promote your business or event in the right way. That starts with quality radio spot production and the nation's top voiceover talent. You might wonder, how do I get started? What's the best approach? What voice talent do I use? And most importantly, can I do it affordably? That's why I created CoolVoiceRadio.com. I take you to the finish line, giving you everything you need to advertise effectively on the radio. I'll help you create your concept, write your spot, even choose your music and cast your voice talent and get it aired on the radio. Now that's cool. Email me today at info@coolvoiceradio.com or call 646-326-7800 because nothing beats the right sound.
Come on, come on. Thank you. Right now, I'm leaving this wake for my grandmother, so I'm going to try to play a pre-arranged tape. I should be in the studio about 15 minutes. So this should run about 18 minutes. Played it yesterday. I'm going to play it again today. Let me get everything. Hold on, get everything. Everything lined up. I'm doing it from my phone. So just bear with me. Coat pocket out there. Wait a minute, man. I'm going to get this crunk for everybody.
What, 2007? Y'all still watching?
Thank you. I've commented at length on the relationship between blacks, Democrats, and the Republican Party. Videos like Begin Deprogramming, where I examine that often asked question, why is it that the majority of the black community consistently votes Democrat? What's funny is that you kind of have to scratch your head and wonder, why is it that the majority of the black community votes Democrat? But back in the day, when the majority of the black community voted Republican, it was pretty clear why. Actually, that's not entirely true. If you were wondering why blacks voted for Republicans, it was because we were wondering if they had a death wish. Am I lying? Man, you ain't got to look that far today to see the hostility that'll come your way if you're black and you dare to be a Republican. And just a few decades ago, that hostility came along with lynchings. Now, people have been led to believe that these lynchings were done by a bunch of crazy rednecks running around in white sheets because that's the American way. But y'all, it wasn't the American way. It was the Democrat way. The Ku Klux Klan was the terrorist fraternity founded by the Democrat Party, and their message was simple. Vote or die. And when you vote, you make sure it's for Democrats. Now, who is it that was carrying on that vote or die message? Oh, yeah, Diddy. Now, do you think that whole vote or die, rock the vote campaign is propaganda for you to vote Republican? No, it's for you to vote Democrat. The Klan wanted white voters to vote Democrat. They didn't want black folks to vote at all. But if black people were going to vote, they wanted them to vote Democrat, too. And you can be sure that the Klan had some choice words for black people who voted Republican. Why don't you learn this stuff in public school? Because the public school system is run by the Democrat Party and the unions. But what the scratch and sniff happened, man? The Democrat Party has been the pro-slavery party, the pro-segregation party, the anti-civil rights party, but the majority of the black community votes Democrat. Now, some will say it's because Martin Luther King gave his endorsement to Democrat John F. Kennedy. This supposedly happened after Robert Kennedy made a few phone calls to get Martin Luther King released from jail. But that same Robert Kennedy that made a few phone calls to get Martin Luther King released from jail is the same Robert Kennedy that gave the okie-dokie to J. Edgar Hoover to tap Martin Luther King's phone. They wanted to catch Martin Luther King engaging in dialogue that was favorable to communism. They didn't like Martin Luther King. Know why? Because he was a Republican. And actually, man, as far as I know, he never did endorse John F. Kennedy because Martin Luther King was a church pastor who stood by the principle of not endorsing candidates. Martin Luther King offered his thanks to the Kennedys. I don't think he offered an endorsement. But there's Martin Luther King Sr., who was also a Republican. He knew that the Democrats were not friends of the black community, and that included the Kennedys. Why would Martin Luther King endorse John F. Kennedy? Allow me to speculate. Could it be that Martin Luther King Sr. also got a phone call? A phone call that might have gone something like, look here, you want a safe and speedy release of your son from jail? How about a friendly nod for Kennedy in exchange? Not to mention, while John F. Kennedy was a senator, he opposed the civil rights bill that was being advanced by the Republican President Eisenhower. Now, like Republicans, Democrats like the Kennedys back then didn't like communism, and Southern Democrats really hated communism. But let's clear this up, though. Hating communism does not make you a capitalist, and it does not make you a conservative. Adolf Hitler hated communism, too. But that didn't make him a capitalist or a conservative. I have to point this stuff out because the Democrats know that they're being exposed, so they've been going around and changing some things. So when you go out and research and Google this stuff, you're going to find that the word Democrat is being replaced by the word conservative, especially when you go research them Southern Democrats, or Dixiecrats as they call them. They're changing the language, y'all. That's how they do. You know, kind of like the term global warming is being replaced by the term climate change. They got their foot ankle deep in their mouth on that one, and they're sore losers about it, man. And sore losers are always trying to change the game. But more and more people are starting to call Democrats out on this stuff. What you mean global warming, man? It's actually been kind of cool. Well, you see, our Earth raping is causing our Earth mother to be depressed, and her depression is manifesting as changing climates. No, my green friend. The fact that the Earth has two poles doesn't make her bipolar per se, like you. Those changes in the climates are called seasons and normal warming and cooling periods. The rest of us know that. Why don't y'all know that? Anyway, the Democrats were seeing that more and more the rest of the country wasn't really riding on the hateful frequency of the Southern Democrats. Now, I reckon the Democrat Harry Truman knew that. He was also a member of the Ku Klux Klan. He just didn't attend their slumber parties.
At least that's what he says.
But if Truman wanted to be president, he was going to have to show that he was in tune with the rest of the country. He was going to have to show that he was hip, he was cool, you know, denying civil rights to blacks as for squares, man. So he throws down with things like signing executive orders to end segregation in the military and to end discrimination in federal employment. That made him look a little better to the rest of the country, and it made Democrats look a little better to black people. But to his racist homies in the South, he's like, now don't y'all go thinking I'm expecting you to enforce all this civil rights crap. That's where Eisenhower comes in. He's the one who actually put into action what Truman only put on paper. Eisenhower moved to desegregate schools and the military. And if he had any reservations about desegregating schools, it was because he felt it was an issue that needed to be resolved on state levels. But Eisenhower did see that these people were being jerks and that their laws conflicted with the supreme law of the land. That's why there's that instance of Eisenhower sending in military support to make sure that black kids could go to school. Now, Martin Luther King did ask Eisenhower for more help. He wanted Eisenhower to be more verbal against what was happening in the South. And Eisenhower's like, man, I've been expressing my views on this, and to tell you the truth, I really don't know what good another speech for me is going to do for you. And Eisenhower was right, because the speech that was going to be the super rump shaker wasn't meant to come through Eisenhower. It was meant to come through Martin Luther King. So between Truman and the Kennedys, what civil rights meant was votes. It's like Truman set up the ball and the Kennedys spiked it. The Democrat Margaret Sanger already said it. You want to hoodwink them Negroes? You make nice with their ministers. Mm-hmm. And when Robert Kennedy got Martin Luther King released from jail, it made Democrats look good to the black community. So, of course, the black community was really disenfranchised. And when Martin Luther King busted on the scene to be the champion of civil rights, he really had the hearts of the black community with him, as well as a lot of other Americans. And when the people saw that their champion was freed from jail by a Democrat, they were so happy that they forgot that it was Democrats who put Martin Luther King in jail in the first place. They forget about Democrats like George Wallace and Democrats like Bull Firehose KKK Connor. There's the pro-segregationist Democrat Ernie Vandiver, the governor of the state that Martin Luther King was jailed in. FDR was instrumental in getting black people to start switching over to Democrat because of entitlements. See, the Democrats have had a system. You got to break the black community down, and every once in a while you got to give them a little something-something, you know, so they stay tolerant of the place that you reduced them to. Now, the Democrats knew at some point the black community was going to rise against them. But that's okay because they had a plan for that, and they still use that plan today. Well, you know all that awful stuff that's been happening to you? You know, it was those dang Republicans. We've always been with you, brother.
There are a lot of people who wrote these eulogies for Senator Byrd in the newspapers, and I read a bunch of them, and they mentioned that he once had a fleeting association with a Ku Klux Klan. And what does that mean? I'll tell you what it means. A country boy from the hills and hollows of West Virginia. He was trying to get elected. And maybe he did something he shouldn't have done, and he spent the rest of his life making it up. And that's what a good person does.
But how did this disenfranchisement come about? Well, let's keep working our way back, and on the way, we'll take a quick look at the presidency of the Democrat Woody Woodrow Wilson. He knew the game. Oh, yeah, I'm all about seeing the advancement of you Negro folk. There he was, out there courting the black vote. Woody with a courting heated ride, crambone. Oh, yeah, y'all black people could vote back then. It's just that Democrats had this really bad habit of coming into power and taking away the rights of black people. Republicans are the ones who would come in and restore the rights. The last time that happened was when Lyndon B. Johnson was president, a Democrat. But he got that Civil Rights Act passed with Republican support, not so much with Democrat support. Anyway, back to Woodrow Wilson. Now, what did Woodrow Wilson do? He did the same thing that the Democrats of today do. He patronized the black community for their votes. And what did he do with their votes? Well, he did things like segregate the military and fire blacks who had federal positions. And to add insult to injury, he hosted the showing of the pro-KKK movie Birth of a Nation in the White House. Now, even though black people typically voted Republican back then, they got suckered into voting Democrat. Now, before Woodrow Wilson, you had the Republican president Teddy Roosevelt, or he called his party the Bull Moose Party. He was still a Republican, though. Mm-hmm. Teddy Roosevelt was digging Booker T. Washington, who was also a Republican. Teddy and Booker T. kicking it at the White House. Teddy Roosevelt, a Republican, invites blacks in. Woodrow Wilson, a Democrat, kicks blacks out. Yet black people today say we love them Democrats. Teddy Roosevelt had to work to repair civil rights due to the damage done to it by Southern Democrats. Southern Democrats had become really, really mad about all these cool-level Republicans being in the White House for so long. So the Klanocrats were dispatched to turn up the heat on how people were going to vote. So why the loyalty to the Democrat Party? Well, let's keep working our way on back. So let's look at the South wanting to break away from the Union. You got the Southern Democrat representatives that wanted to break away so they could be the slave-holding Confederate states. Oh, yeah? Well, how come black men were fighting with Confederates in uniform? Because they had to. They had to be in uniform, y'all, because the Confederate military didn't want to mistake them for runaway slaves with guns and shoot them. They needed every man they could get. It's another example of Democrats using black people when it's convenient for them. So those slaves were forced to fight, and those slaves that were fighting against the Union were hoping to get captured by the Union. Don't get me wrong, you have many of them slaves that were led to believe that the Union was the enemy. Kind of like how it is today. You got many in the black community that are led to believe that the Republicans are the enemy. And I'm sure there were just a lot of slaves out there that were eager to shoot at some white people, huh? I mean, come on. Now, even today, you have these left-wing cynics that would rather be suspicious of Abraham Lincoln because he said this.
My paramount objective in this struggle is to save the Union, and it's not either to save or destroy slavery. If I could save the Union without freeing any slave, I would do it. And if I could save it by freeing all the slaves, I would do it. And if I could do it by freeing some and leaving others alone, I would do that also.
Mm. But there's what he said, and then there's what he did. Now, I could be all hung up on that and bitter about it, too, but then I think about what the Democrat General George B. McClellan said. Our bloody civil war has now lasted years under the mismanagement of Abraham Lincoln. Nearly 1 million white lives have been sacrificed. So the Democrats of today try to say that Lincoln was indifferent to slavery, but the Democrats of Lincoln's day saw Lincoln as clearly anti-slavery, and they didn't like it. McClellan also charged Lincoln with this.
Lincoln has declared his intention to convert the Civil War into a war for forcible abolition and Negro equality, social and political.
This Democrat was a general during Lincoln's administration, and just like pretty much the rest of the Democrats, he was at odds with Lincoln. McClellan ran against Lincoln because he saw Lincoln as a slavery-abolishing Republican who committed the abominable act of sacrificing white lives for black freedom. So what do you want to believe? That Lincoln didn't really care about blacks because of a few lines that he stated? All those people that were killed in the war? That was just a political stunt. He really didn't care about freeing slaves. And forget all that abolitionist-laden Republican platform stuff that Lincoln ran on. Forget all that. And forget about the fact that he signed the 13th Amendment. Man, he's the president. He ain't got no business doing that anyway. Now, you can find accounts of Lincoln suggesting that the white race is the superior race, but hey, I never said Lincoln was perfect. But despite such sentiments, he still saw blacks as people, people deserving of the same rights as everybody else outlined in the Constitution and the Declaration of Independence. But unfortunately, a lot of people would rather assume the worst about Lincoln and side with Democrats. Why? Well, let's keep going on back. Let's examine the paradox of Thomas Jefferson, a Democratic Republican. The Republican side of him knew that we enjoy a constitutional republic. His philosophy on the rights of men and the role of government was brilliant and revered by many people today. That's the Republican side of him. But the Democrat side of him is the side that said, but these rights are good for me, not you, namely you black folks. Matter of fact, let's get to cracking with that fugitive slave law and snatch up a few of those Negroes and put them into slavery.
Invasion of the Negro Snatchers.
And that's just another example, but people in the black community still side with Democrats. Why? Could it be because the Republican Party stands closest to the Constitution? You know, that document that has that three-fifths clause in it, that clause that supposedly reduces black people to three-fifths of a human being. Many of y'all learned that in our liberal indoctrination system, you know, public school. And this is a prime example of how race-baiting liberals are masters at suckering the black community to keep voting for Democrats. To make the far-reaching accusation that the Constitution refers to black people as three-fifths of a human being and to get people to believe it is, like, amazing. Hey, let's take a look at how Article 1, Section 2, Clause 3 of the U.S. Constitution reads.
Clean again? In Chicago and surrounding areas, Unique Towel Cleaning Service is the best cleaning service. We do basic cleaning and super cleaning, offices and apartment buildings. We will even clean your barber shop, your beauty shop, your spa or restaurant's towels and aprons. Call Unique Towel Cleaning Service at 773-484-5027. Ask us about our very special offer for our new clients. Call us at 773-484-5027 today and feel clean.
Forward. Yo, Dana, you're not a victim. Hold on. I missed a call. Let me take a commercial break. 1 second.
Partners in Community Building focuses on credit building, financial literacy, and home ownership for residents throughout Chicago and Illinois. All of our services are free. Call 312-328-0873 to get additional information on our homeownership counseling, rental assistance, Cook County foreclosure mediation, and small accessible repairs for seniors programs. PCIB is a HUD-certified nonprofit counseling agency committed to addressing the housing needs of all people. Call 312-328-0873 to schedule an appointment or visit us at www.pcibchicago.org.
For true inspiration, check out singer, songwriter, and radio personality Sylvia Fedrick. Sylvia, your sister under God's construction, brings to you her best in Christian contemporary gospel tunes, and they are available for download at www.sangsyl.com. That's SANGSYL.com. Or you can visit her profile at Chicago Black Business Network. For bookings, call Sassy Michelle at 512-914-4221.
Want to learn the secrets of the wealthy? Do you think that the wealthy sell their gold and silver, or do they buy gold and silver? Learn to create wealth, collect wealth, and preserve wealth for you and future generations. Find out how you can acquire free silver every month. Visit goldandsilverplan.com. That's goldandsilverplan.com. What you don't know can keep you struggling financially. What you know can change your life. Be in the know. Visit goldandsilverplan.com today.
Hey, you want more money in your pocket, right? Savers are losers, unless you save like the rich and beat inflation. The secret? Save the right kind of money. Pure, solid, 24-karat gold or silver for as little as 20 bucks a week, direct from the mint. Don't spend money. Exchange bad money for good money. Start today at SaveMetalMoney.com. That's SaveMetalMoney.com. The chains of slavery in the modern world are not forged with links of iron, but with the bonds of limiting ideas and debt.
Be in business for yourself, but not by yourself. Team up with a company voted the 57th most promising by Forbes. With no money to collect from your customers, no credit checks, and no cost for you to join. Visit electricmoneyteam.com, 773-980-9288. That's electricmoneyteam.com, 773-980-9288.
Hi there, I'm the X-Man, Xavier Paul. I'm a national network.
What's going on, Dana? How you doing?
Hey, what's happening, Jimmy? How are you?
I can't complain myself. But
now, I do have to make a comment, because I did listen to, I listened to that editorial that you just played, and I'm a firm believer that history unlearned is destined to repeat itself. Now, the speaker quoted something about the Constitution and denied that the Constitution states that slaves were counted as three-fifths of a person. Now, I'm going to read you Articles 1, Section 2 of what it says in the Constitution regarding slavery. It says, and this is a quote from what I'm reading, representatives and direct taxes shall be appointed among the several states which may be included within this union, according to their respective numbers, which shall be determined by adding to the whole number of free persons, including those bound to service for a term of years, and excluding Indians not taxed, three-fifths of all other persons.
Now, Dana,
the slaves. Now, that specifically states that slaves are counted as three-fifths of a person.
But no.
A descendant of slaves, and especially knowing that the wording has not been changed, then there is no, go ahead, what are you going to say?
No, what I'm saying, if you read it again, and you say that, is it, and people didn't buy it, read it again before you get to the ending of the 3/5 part. Go read it again.
Okay. It says, okay, thank you. It says, representatives and direct taxes shall be appointed among the several states which may be included within this union, according to their respective numbers, which shall be determined by adding to the whole numbers of
three persons, including... You said adding to the whole numbers. Now, let's read this slow.
A free person. Including those bound to service
now,
for a term of years.
Now,
so what it is actually saying is that those who are included, anyone that is excluded from the whole numbers, are counted as 3/5 of
the
person.
Hold on. It says, before we got to the number, it says, get to the part before he got to indigenous servants for life. Let's go back again. What is it now? Slowly. Read it slowly.
Representatives and direct taxes shall be apportioned among the several states which may be included within this union, according to their respective numbers, which shall be determined by adding to the whole number of free persons, including those bound to service.
Is it adding the whole numbers of free persons, including, keep going.
Including those bound to service for a term of years,
right,
and excluding the Indians not taxed, 3/5 of all persons.
So that was saying only one.
So it's saying that those who are not included in the whole are considered 3/5 of a person.
Now, it even said free persons too. Then right?
No, the free persons are counted as a whole.
Let's read it again slowly, because the only race in it that it talks about is Indians.
Is a slave. In fact, it says, i.e. slaves.
No, go back. Go back and read it again. Because it says, including. It says.
No.
It says,
by adding to the whole number of free persons.
Right.
So the free person was considered a whole number.
Including?
Including those bound to service for a term of years.
Now listen. It says,
those were the slaves.
Free persons, including holes. Listen, bound for eternal servitude for years. That's the definition of a slave.
Say again?
Bound for servitude for indefinite years is a definition.
No, it said, it didn't say indefinite years.
Go read it.
A term of years. And those were the slaves.
But when you were a slave, you did have the opportunity to get sold, or your freedom was obtained. Chicken George bought his freedom. I'm just saying, people's buying their freedoms. Their freedom was
gone. How many years? In some states, slavery was abolished, and they didn't even tell slaves.
But the point I'm saying is,
they let them continue to act and live and work like slaves.
But the point I'm saying is,
who was even slavery was even legal anymore.
That even the slave master had to pay slaves.
They had to pay those slaves.
Let me give an example.
Let me give an example. And then break down the families.
How much do you think it cost to take care of a slave?
How much did it cost who? The person?
Hold on.
Uh-oh.
They will get sick.
Doctor's foolish.
They will get sick. They have to eat.
So what are you saying? They were being paid in the toils of their labor? How much it costs to work somebody 24 hours a day.
If it's about profit, then...
To take someone's child and sell them for profit, to break down the person's family, to remove their brothers and sisters. You can't put a price tag on a man's life, especially when that man is working for free. They didn't didn't get paid money for working out there in those fields. The food that we eat today that we call healthy foods and greens and things like that came from the fact that these were the leftovers that these people had to eat to, after they slaved and
so if a slave got
built
sick,
up this country.
If a slave got sick, if a good slave got sick, the master would get a doctor to take care of him.
You know what? When a cow gets sick, they take care of him too. They're not paying that cow because they're taking care of him. They're trying to sell him off for beef.
And that costs.
Wow, that's ridiculous.
Now he's losing money on all the grains that he's given to feed the slaves because they got to be healthy to go out there and work.
That's ridiculous. That's ridiculous. And you was
the Dana, you cannot malnutrition no slaves. Because you can't get
as a black man, as a black man, that's a terrible statement to make.
But no, Dana.
That's ridiculous.
Dana, what I'm saying is the slaves didn't buy their clothes. The slaves didn't buy their
house.
You know
what? Because they didn't have a choice. They didn't have a choice.
Hey, Dana. Masson had to do it for
them. They didn't have a choice. That's ridiculous.
Masson didn't have to do it for them.
No, he didn't. He didn't do nothing for them.
What I'm saying, no.
Dana,
check this out.
Our race as it is right now.
Because you evolved, Dana. Because you are involved. Because you evolved. What I'm saying is you evolved. If you take your pick.
Hundreds of years later, our family structure is still suffering. Our children are still suffering. Our parents are still suffering. Our kids. We are still suffering. And there is not to be a misperception in this United States.
How can we stop it, Dana?
At all equal.
Dana, how can we stop it? We know there's a problem.
We can strike down the laws, and we can create better. We can create equality for all of us.
Hold on. Listen, Dana, are we talking about everybody or black people? Which one?
I'm talking about everybody.
Well,
I'm talking about everybody because...
Well, then, Dana, that's the problem. That's the problem right there.
It's not the
because
problem.
Because black... Let me tell you why, Dana. Because black people don't want to address their problems. They want to address everybody's problem without even taking care of our problems first. We cannot help everybody and win ourselves together, point blank. We can't worry about no other races.
One of the reasons why I have a passion for equal opportunity, and besides the fact that I'm black, but one of the reasons why I have a passion for equal opportunity is because in the year 2010, I was forced to work in a segregated environment where they had blacks, where they put the minorities only in one section of the Navy clinic, and I served my country as a naval officer. Now, I spent more than 25 years of my life serving my country, and you mean to tell me that while serving my country, I had to be faced with what was worse than Jim Crow laws. When I spoke up about it, I was terrorized. I was harassed. I was threatened. I was bullied. My children were harassed. They broke and entered into my house. Let me tell you, these antiquated values and these antiquated ideas that are continuing to contribute to the demise of this country have to stop. I cannot request equality for me and then subject someone to inequality. I believe in equality for all. Somebody's ideas may not be like mine, but that's what they have right to have.
Ask this question. Who does not have equality?
We don't have equality, and we've never had equality.
We say, who is we? Who are you speaking about?
Well, see, it's not just us. Hispanic people don't have equality either.
So what I'm saying is this, Dana. When you speak of equality, who ain't equal?
You're not equal.
When you say we, who are you speaking of?
What do you mean? I'm so dumb.
Because you said no. Because you said everybody needs equality. So who are you speaking of? Because I can put you in a box. I can put you in a black box, woman box. I can put you in a minority box. I can put you in so many boxes.
Who are subjected.
No, Dana.
You're
a woman? No, Dana.
Inequality.
Dana, women say they're not equality. They need equality. Blacks say they need equality. So
When I say we, you are in a big box. See, me being a man, I can say us. It's talking about black folks. Because there's only one blacks. There's only one box that black people get, that black men get put in. And that's just a black box. A female, you're the woman. And woman that need a woman needs equality, and you're black, and blacks need equality. So I'm saying, when it comes down to equality, what are we talking about? Because you know, women are fine now; they make more money than men. They graduate at a higher rate than men. There are more women in colleges than men. There are more women in the workforce than men. I mean, I don't know how much equal can you get. But the black man and the black race still down. So that's all I'm saying.
Women do not make more than men if you take just statistics.
Well, look at the jobs they have out there now, Dana. There ain't no big paying jobs out there. No more. So we can't use that as a factor no more.
When you go to the hospital, if you had to, if you had blinders on, and someone said you were, your doctor would be in soon, what sex would you think your doctor was?
A female.
Indian. No, you wouldn't.
Listen, I will go here. Either female Indian.
What race?
Or female
what
Asian.
Race would you think your doctor was?
No, I'm saying, listen, if you ask me, I will say Indian or Asian female. Indian.
I disagree. If you were to go to become, if you were to go to a company and the CEO of that company, what race
I might
or
say,
what gender would you say they
were? I'll say a white man. Okay, how about this? If you're going to a
factory. If you were to just watch the news.
How about this? If you was going to a factory.
If you were
factory,
to watch the news and say
Dana,
everybody outside of weatherman, what Dana, race and gender would you say they were? Huh? Lawyers.
Danny. But Dana,
yeah.
If you walked into a factory, Ford or GM, close your eyes, and somebody walked up to you, what would you see?
Exactly.
You won't know
because,
what you see. You see a woman up there. You might see a man up there. You see, because, I mean, in a factory, post office, line, everybody's equal. Everybody's equal. If you can do the job,
factory,
you can do the job.
If
you go to Ford,
factory,
GM, I mean, you see females on the line right next to men doing the same thing. You make the same pay because you don't discriminate.
If we were to look at the statistics of this world, and we were to look at numbers, would you say
we can't worry about the world.
I'm just a question. Okay, in America, would you say that there are more women than men?
I would say yeah.
So you say there's more women than men in the United States? I agree.
Yeah,
I agree,
that.
Definitely. Because women outlive men, right?
Given
we live
the numbers,
longer.
So given the numbers,
like that, right?
That there are more women in college, there's more women in school.
Where?
Give all the numbers that say more women in college, more women in schools, more women in workforce, more women in head of household.
Well, and so then statistically, that would make sense. But there are not more women in the workforce. There's more men in the workforce. There's more men in the workforce.
What's funny? Because when I look at the unemployment numbers, I see men are higher than women in unemployment numbers. And what I'm seeing now in America, because there's not that many high-paying jobs, more retail, service-oriented jobs, and then the healthcare administration, all those industries geared to women. There's no industry being built up right now. There's no factories.
But the power industry where the money is made are there's not nearly as much.
Where is it made at? Overseas?
Now, yes, you're right. If I go into a lingerie shop or a clothing store, or if I go into
Target,
you know, a bank teller, I'm going to see
all of the women.
Those are women-dominated fields.
No, what I'm saying
thank
is,
goodness,
but that's the job market now. That's the job market now.
That's not the job market. There's still so many other jobs out there.
Listen, we are now. Okay, how about this? Healthcare is a new big industry coming up. Again, the field of nursing, nurse practitioners, all of that. It's a big boom.
Right.
Emails,
in nursing,
medical records.
In nursing, you're right. There are a lot of females.
That's the big industry coming up now.
But it's all about healthcare.
It's about healthcare.
But the people who get the most respect, even though nurses spend 95% of the time with the patient, the people who get the most respect are the doctors.
Times have changed, Dana. Times have changed. Again, what I'm saying is, Dana, if the future is in medical billing, nurse practitioners,
as an African American female, I know that out of every one of me, there's going to be 10 or 15 that don't look like me.
Well, okay. Even if they don't look like you.
As we progress up the ladder, that number gets to be even smaller. I can give you statistics from my own field, from where my job that I just finished.
Before you give me statistics,
people that look like me, pushed out and mistreated.
But Dana, again, we're on equality. The black woman and the white woman. Problem is the white man, and they want the money. So are the black woman and the white woman going to be fighting out? Because it goes like this. The black woman was fighting the man for the jobs. Now the white woman got the jobs. If you said for every one you, there's 10 of them. So the equality factor is between the black woman and the white woman.
I'm saying that there's people that look like me in the workforce are underrepresented. I'm not saying that white women are working, but they might not look like you, but they're still women.
It's the women. So the equality factor can't be.
Even in my field, if you're looking at apples to apples, the number of doctors that are males, you're going to find that there's an imbalance in the ratio.
But all I'm saying is this: we say equality. Are we talking about blacks and whites getting together, or equality?
I'm saying
for
that we
women.
All need to come together.
Oh, hold on. Or equality for women. When there's more women in the workforce now.
Did you watch the State of the
history.
Union last night?
Yes, I did. Matter of fact, Dana.
Did you watch it? You watched it?
I did, and I played it last night
okay.
on the show.
No.
But hold on,
no,
Dana. Hold on, Dana.
Question. So no, we're talking about equality. We're talking about equality. If you watched the State of the Union last night, how many people in there look like me?
All this time, I couldn't shake your memory. And I never knew the sweetest love was the first. So what am I supposed to do about this curse? Oh, baby, I've got you to blame. And I'm calling, calling.
never meant to make you cry. You were the only one I've ever loved in my life. And though it's hard for me to show it, I've got to let you know it. 'Cause darling, I love you more each day. But the word got in my way.
Can't do it no more. I can't sing no more sad songs. 1, 2, 3, hit me. Bop the bop. Bop it out of bebop. Bop the bop. Yeah, bass man. Come on up. 1, 2, 3, hit me. Sound good. Yeah. Saxophone on the floor. 1, 2, 3, hit it.
I saw a lot of black women congressmen or congresswomen.
What's considered a lot?
I mean, I saw a lot of crowd. I saw all the black women in there. They made sure they showed it. But like Hillary Clinton said, the women got to break the glass ceiling. Now, all I'm saying is, when you talk about equality, are you talking about the disparages between blacks and whites, women?
When you look at jails, how many of us are in jail? There are disparities in the numbers. There's huge disparities in the numbers. When you go into a workspace, I just want you to look around. Just look around. That's all you have to do. You can walk down the street and choose 50 different offices and say, hey, I know what, I'm going to go to this building over here. And you see how many of us are representatives in there. And then
Dana,
choose,
I agree.
50. Choose 100.
But we're going
to
equality. 100.
And then I want you to go to one jail.
Equality for the black man or for everybody. Because women feel the same way that you feel when they walk downtown on the boardroom and don't see no men there.
I have not seen a big business with a huge boardroom that don't have any men.
They have no women.
I have seen many businesses that are underrepresented by minorities.
We say minority, do you mean women? or black?
I mean,
or Spanish,
I'm talking minority cultures.
I mean, well, listen, we say minority, we do it transgender, right? Lesbians, gays, Hispanics, and all that, right?
Well, we're not going to someone's sexual preference. I'm talking
so
about...
So that's classification of minority, but that is a classification.
It's not a classification at a workspace.
Well, they are passing laws that you can't discriminate or fire.
And you shouldn't be able to discriminate. You shouldn't be able to fire somebody because of
I don't think they ever been. No, point
whatever
I'm saying
whatever
is
someone's sexual orientation is, let it be. That's their orientation.
But when you talk about minorities,
what I'm saying is, right now we have kids, children that are being killed. We have people that are homeless, and it's 15, 20 degrees wind chill factor below zero. We have crime all over the place. We have people that are families that are starving, that are working and can't afford to eat. We have so many bigger problems in this world than to worry about who somebody is sleeping with and how they decide to dress. That's what I'm saying. That's one of the reasons why I am supportive of
all I'm saying is this.
But, well, not just because it's the right thing, for one thing.
That's what I said.
But
if you put your energy into that, then worry about that. Don't worry about black, because those people need their rights first. Everybody need their rights first. Everybody need to be make sure they're taken care of. But us, we're straight.
I disagree.
Every minority.
I disagree.
10 years, a new minority comes up. And we got to make sure they get the equality, equal rights, and put them in our fight. They fight with us. Hispanics, come fight with us. Women, hey, come fight with us. Lesbians, hey, come fight with us. And everybody gets stuff with us. And we still arguing the same stuff 100 years later. The new minority come in.
It's not because we help them. It's because we never stand up and say, why aren't we being treated equally?
Do they say it?
Loud and clear.
No. How about
loud
this?
Loud and clear.
I'm quite sure, Dana, there were gay Ku Klux Klan members. I'm quite sure there were gay slave owners. I'm 100% sure. So what I'm saying is, nobody was, those white boys never discriminated against their white brothers or their lesbian sisters. They still hired them.
Well, one thing people didn't know what they were doing.
They gave the right to vote.
Sexually.
They gave the right to vote. They could own property. They could sit at restaurants. Counters. It was equal to the man. It was equal.
That's because people's sexual behaviors belonged where they were.
Right now, why do they get ahead of the bus over blacks? Immigration bill? Yeah, all that needs to be taken care of.
What about Trayvon Martin? What about that?
They gotta wait, Dana. Immigration law.
They gotta wait because those things are overlooked and they're ignored.
Immigration is more important. Right now, what's more important is also the gays and lesbians' right to marry. Trayvon Martin is important. The jobs of black men are important. It's not important, Dana. What's important is everybody get equality. And we got to wait till the next president come out for us to complain about stuff. That's all, Dana. We got 1,078 days to the next president takes office. 1,078 days to the next president takes office.
Nobody should worry that they're going to be discriminated against or mistreated or anything like that. Just because of their sexual orientation. I don't think that it is right for anyone to be persecuted. But it doesn't mean that you forget about everybody else. I mean, I was in the military. I firmly believe that the law that the laws that apply to us should be taken away from the hands of the military people.
Hey, Dana.
Because they're not doing the right thing.
When the history of America get written down, we're going to go out as being a race of people that tortured homosexuals. Nah. We burn witches at the stake. We did that. We burn niggas. We scalped Indians. But we never persecuted homosexuals. Never. In America. Were they persecuted? Never. I mean, there's other countries that do it, but not in America. But all I say is we've been bamboozled to take the cause of a race, sexually oriented people, that the history of America have no history of locking up, killing, burning, torturing. We don't have a history. Is it to me so... It's a distraction, you know, and blacks don't get no rights. Soon you get a black president, everything becomes important, but our rights. That's all I'm saying. They never was hosed down. They can vote. There was no laws made against them because they were there. They always been here. They're not going to make no laws against themselves. Never have.
Yeah, I believe that that argument is skewed. You know what I mean? It's like, because people were, whatever someone's sexual orientation was, nobody knew about that. You didn't see when I was growing up. Because of the shame and because of the stigma and because of all these negative connotations associated with someone being homosexual, the people that were that way just kind of hid to themselves. You didn't see it when I was growing up. You didn't see. You did not see it. It doesn't mean
they had their own.
Like you just said,
Dana,
they had slave masters.
So they had their own community. They had their own community.
But see, that
they
but
knew
see,
each other.
That is a form of isolation. You shouldn't shun somebody off just because they do something special.
But again, you shouldn't
hold nobody down
going to a cash register to buy a meal. You should let a kid go to school.
I agree with that, too.
Ask somebody when you look
at
their face.
Anything that is persecution of a person is wrong.
Outside a transgender, difficult to tell a homosexual or lesbian, gay.
And you shouldn't be able to tell them. And you shouldn't be able to tell them.
Because
what they're doing sexually shouldn't matter.
Coming from. Where are the discriminations coming from?
They're not doing it.
Dana.
The discrimination is coming from the biases that affect kids of people.
Dana.
It's a known fact. It's a known fact that
well, people believe listen. Ask
it's a known fact. I mean, you can see it in all these little stories on TV, in the news, that when they
about
speak
Catholic
up or somebody
About Catholic preachers touching little boys.
About Catholic priests touching little boys.
That's homosexual.
No, that's sick. That's perversion.
You can't say that. Because it's sexual
desire.
No, Dana, you've been discriminatory.
No, that is. That's perversion. No, I'm not being discriminatory. That is perversion because a kid cannot consent to any kind of a sexual act with an adult. That's sick. That's a perversion.
If a man sexual desire, if I have sex with a boy, who am I to judge them their sexual behavior? And the door's open.
You know what? The laws are the ones that are to judge that.
You are
because
making your understand. You're taking someone level. Listen, you're taking homosexuality to a perversion level.
No, I'm not. Because it doesn't have to be the same sex. It can be mixed sex, and it's still just as perverted. Just because a priest, just because a male is molesting a boy doesn't make it homosexual. It makes it perverted. If that same male molested a little girl, he is still just as perverted.
Again, Dana, I'm going to say it like this. reason why people were afraid of homosexuality, because they deemed it perversion. That was what they threw out.
But what consenting adults decide to do, whatever I decided to do if with my adult husband,
so
is
you can't put no age
up
on homosexuality.
What do you mean by that? I'm not putting an age on it.
I mean,
I'm
no, you can't.
I'm talking about
if someone's homosexual,
was one of molestation.
How about you put it this? If you're a little boy, you're homosexual, and there ain't never homosexual men around you, no homosexual boys, why can't you have sex with that boy, that man, if that's what you
because,
are?
Because a person that is a youth cannot consent to a sexual
that
be, act.
See, now we have to make Dana, think about this now. Now we have to make laws governing that, to make sure that does not happen.
No, there are already laws that are governing that.
If you're 13 years old, Dana, in Alabama, if you're 14 years old, your parents consent, you can get married. It's 17 in Chicago, in Illinois. 16 in certain states. If marriage is legal, point blank. Ain't no getting around it. We can't say, well, you got to be 21 to get married. Then you got to set up everybody across the board. Then you deal with states' rights. That's all. And there's no turning back. This is what we live in now.
I'm saying is that you can't take something that is perverted and then try to create an example
right
that someone should
what
have.
I'm saying is this.
The example
a 14-year-old girl can marry a man. But Dana, let's say, all I'm saying is the laws of marriage. 16, 15, 14, depending on the state you live in, if your parents consent, you can get married. That's the law. Now, I'm not trying to pervert some shit. That's just the law. Because when they made that law, they didn't think that we'd be dealing with what we're dealing with now. Women and women and men and men.
Well, when they made the law, it was a different time.
So the law still stands.
People were getting married.
Because, then am I correct? And equality. They want to be, they marriage,
but as we grow
and just like everybody else.
Better, as we grow and as we know better, then we tend to do better. You know what I mean? There were laws, there were antiquated laws. Like we can use the example of the 3/5 of a human being. It doesn't mean right.
Let's go ahead and say
that. It doesn't mean
so
that.
So now you're saying this. Now you're saying this. Now the homosexuals can't get married. We got to put an age limit on marriage because the old law's antiquated. The old law's antiquated.
There should have always been age limit on marriage.
Well, like I said, no. Different states' rights. Different states get different laws on the books. And down south, you can be 14, maybe even 13. It's 17.
But it doesn't
it's 16
make it,
in Wisconsin.
It doesn't make it a good law. Just like
it's
right
the law.
Now, just like in some states.
I got
right
a call.
Now,
call
that.
Hello, who's this?
I'm just listening at the dawn. Peace.
All right, where you just listening? I'll put you back out. I'll put you back in. Yeah, no, Dana. All I'm saying is this.
What did you say?
All I'm saying is this. That. If on the books, the law states that
there are laws right now, that says that if a person is working in the field, then there is not a minimum wage that they must earn, nor is there a limit to the amount of time that they can work.
Okay.
Doesn't make it a good law.
But listen.
There are laws right now.
So you're saying they should change the law? Dana, are you saying?
I'm saying that as antiquated laws are realized, then they should definitely be changed. They should definitely be changed. A child should not consent to having sex.
These laws should be changed because of the sexual act that these people are going to be partaking in?
I'm saying that there are several times in a person's life when they cannot consent to a sexual act. A person that is inebriated, if you're drunk, if I go out and Jimmy, you're drunk, and then I take advantage of you, guess what? I broke the law. Why? Because you were not in your right mind to consent. Another time laws are broken.
Why drink Captain Black?
In a mental institution.
You take advantage of me any
time.
But
then you bring some legal forms up there for them.
But I'm saying
is against the law.
But Dana,
why? Because they cannot.
The key word.
Not mentally right.
But Dana, the key word is parental consent.
It's not parental, but a parent can't consent to a child's molestation, just like that woman in Gary, Indiana.
Hold on. Dana,
just like
Dana.
That woman in, wait
Dana,
a minute.
Listen.
Like that woman in Gary,
that's
Indiana,
wrong.
Now,
let me speak with homosexuals right now, Dana. Hold on.
The woman.
Dana.
Like the woman
now, I hate to take your
Gary,
side.
Indiana. This was last week. This was last week, Jimmy. In Gary, Indiana.
Dana, all I'm saying is
that it was okay for her daughters to be molested at the age of 3 or 4 months. That parent consented to these kids having this sexual act, but it is against the law. And the person who molested them is a pervert.
I agree, Dana. But what I'm saying is this. That's what I'm saying. If the law states that parental consent, a 14-year-old girl can marry a man, or a 14-year-old boy can marry a woman, that was consensual.
That was not consensual for the person. You see,
well, hold on. Allow me to finish. No, no. But listen to Dana. There are some 16-year-old girls that's much mature than 40-year-old girls.
Doesn't
matter. There's a
16-year-old
girl. I mean,
there's always going to be exceptions to the rule.
Dana. Just because homosexual marriage is legal, and those words of everybody who's promoting it, then you cannot go out and change traditional marriage, because they've been fighting for traditional marriage. They've been fighting for this, and in some states, that's considered traditional marriage.
Nobody's out trying to fight for a 14-year-old to be able to marry. That's
nobody
a declared law that has never
that's
been
just, that's just a, what do you call it, casual conflict. That's the cost of the war. I mean, that's the cost of the war.
In order for those to get what they wanted,
and for those people to promote, they didn't think it all the way. Dana,
changing the rights of marriages and things like that.
They did not think it all the way. Dana did not think it all the way through. That's the whole bottom line, Dana. See, everybody's looking at marriage, one man, one woman, as an adult. They look all the way down the lines in every state and saw how they conducted themselves. We all look at marriage as something that grown-ups do. But we also heard of grandma and great-grandma and them getting married at a younger age back in the day, because those laws were still in the books. Back in the day, you
and
had big families.
Any laws that are antiquated.
Dana, back in the day, you had 12 kids.
It's as simple as that.
But Dana,
it
back in the day, you had 12 kids.
Regardless of whether or not.
But listen, it's all about times. Dana, about times. 14s don't get married no more like they do, but still in the books.
People have 14 kids no more.
That's an antiquated.
Is having 12 babies antiquated now?
Yeah. How many people do you see with 12 babies?
Well, I mean, cause times change. You can.
Right.
Octomom.
Well, of course you can.
Octomom
has
eight.
To have as many children as
I mean, but what I'm saying is this. As civilization.
But it's laws on the book.
But then as civilization, times change. People themselves stop wanting to have more kids. People stop wanting to get married. But the point I'm saying is, the laws are on the books. Now, we're asking for
now
is.
Now that we're aware of those laws on the books, and those laws should be changed.
And you know
what
they will say? Dana, I'll agree with you.
Those laws don't have to. They should be changed.
I agree with you, but that's been hypocritical.
Of the change in the marriage laws, saying that those laws should be changed, period. Because children cannot consent to having sex with adults.
Well, Dana, that's the world we're living in.
I'm saying
Dana,
it has nothing to do with the change in the marriage laws. It has everything to do with the fact that these are children.
You want to jump in now, caller?
It's cool.
Yeah, I know. Okay, I'm fine. My fault again. No,
go ahead.
No, you want to jump in? You want to say something?
Nah, man, I'm just listening. I don't agree with the whole gay marriage thing. I think it's a distraction, too. There's something else going on. You know.
Right.
You know,
go ahead.
No, I just think, for one, even the Grammys the other night, I just saw that whole ritual just take place. How they, you know, it's almost like that, and I don't want to really take it here, but almost like that demonic spirit. I'm not really, you know, badging homosexuals in that way, but I still know that it has to be something that was going on, especially when you want to equate it with black rights or civil rights. I mean, it's a whole different, it's not even near anything close to that. Now, it may be its own separate issue if that's what homosexuals want, but trying to keep comparing that to what black people have to endure in this country and the world is not, that's almost like disrespectful.
Oh, I agree. Yeah. I agree there's not one comparison because I can't hide the fact that I'm black. I can't take it off and cover it up and shield it away from the world and pretend that it doesn't exist. Me as an African American, it's going to show every time I walk into a room, every time I take a picture, when you look at my children. And so I don't, because I can't hide behind what I look like, nor what I want to, for that matter, but because I can't hide behind what I look like, then that has been used as a basis for discrimination against us for years. Now, a person that is homosexual, you can't tell if they're gay. I mean, some of them, you know, if they got high and tight or whatever and they kind of act a little manly or act a little feminine, there's no way you can tell. But for the most part, you don't know a person's sexual orientation when they walk into a room or when you look at them, and even if you talk to them.
I think our society really there's a lot going on. Like a lot of times, people are even shunned on, even when a young person gets to the age where they can consent to sex or marriage. If they're having sex or you're ready to marry someone 20 or 30 years older than them, that's still kind of looked upon like, oh, that's not. It's still not socially accepted really now, even though we know it's done.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's kind of like, an 18-year-old female wanted to marry a 40-year-old man. It would look, you know, it would be shunned upon like, oh, that's, you know, she's too young, or even vice versa. You know, based on how we judge society, like, okay, she's just, or he's just growing up, or hasn't even grown up yet. The 40-year-old is going to be, when a 40-year-old is 80, then that 18-year-old is going to be 40-something. So, like, knowing it won't work, you know, it's a lot of different things. I think the homosexual thing is more of a, I don't know, like I said, it is more of a distraction that's based on, it's almost like a tearing down, almost the last nail in the coffin to tear down, you know,
male and female relationships. You know, marriage, you know, like, not just marriage, not only marriage in the ring, you know, going to the altar, but just male and female relationships, especially within the black community, is already dealing with, you know, a million more issues.
I can agree with you on that, because honestly, you do see that. You're not seeing as much as many people go to. You know what I mean? You're seeing all these. Like, I have friends right now, and they're like, oh, well, I would rather just date somebody, and he and I, we could just live together and be roommates for the rest of our lives. What about the union of the family? You know,
yeah,
and I do think that family structure is being broken down.
Yeah, that's my point. It's like the last nail, and then, you know, I have two boys, age 12 and 9, and it's almost like even for the, like, what are they trying to portray to the younger generation? Like, it's almost like when they grow up, how would the world, you know, how would the world be? Everything is, you know, accepted, you know, love, everything. So it's almost like that reverse, you know, even that belief in, you know, in the higher being, you know, because we're going to reverse that. It's love everything. It's supposed to love everything. To me, it's like, okay, how can you love everything and say that you do believe in a higher being? Like, you don't love everything? Like, everything on earth is still not meant to be loved. That doesn't mean you go out and, I'm not saying, you know, I'm not, you know, advocating going out and, you know, including somebody or beating somebody, you know, doing all of that, because I think that the person is going to be some gay person. That's not even a strong person at all anyway. Even for a man, I wouldn't feel right. I'm going to beat somebody up because they're gay. That's just, you know, that's not even any kind of, you know, showing any kind of manhood or anything like that. But like I said, I think it is kind of the last nail to break down of the male and female relationship. Like, you really don't get along. You know, it's just a lot of issues that we're dealing with. And then when you put the homosexual part in there, it's like, okay, what kind of relationship will we have in, like, 2020 or 2030? Like, how would the world or even the country really look there? That's interesting to me.
I think when, after we finish having all these free-for-alls, then we're going to get back to basics. That's my opinion. Because at some point, things are going to just blow up, or it's just too much. That's what I believe. I got three sons, and I try to raise my sons to have good morals and good values. And, of course, I want them to get married, and I want them to have kids. You know, but I also teach them that it's not right to shun anyone. That if a person chooses to be a certain way, then we have to be accepting of them, because anything else is wrong. And that's where it's all this bad stuff. You know, and somehow we've gotten past this moral of just treating human beings as people. So, I don't know. This world is just becoming a really crazy place.
Yeah.
And I just have to pray for our country.
You said, well, now I hear you, Doc.
I say this world is just really becoming a crazy place. And so, you know, I just pray for us all.
I think, like, once again, it's a lot of distractions. Like, where, as I think more and understand a lot more that's going on, I really see a lot more of, you know, like, is this something that's purposely done, or why is this issue even coming out? It's just a lot of things that I see the so-called powers to be are kind of putting in the face of that the so-called average citizen, and have us, you know, even, you know, arguing or, you know, really, really getting heated over issues and not really maybe understanding, okay, where is this gay stuff all coming from? I know we always had individuals that were maybe homosexual, but you're seeing it more in young people. You know, it has to be something else, you know, that's going on right along with it that I don't think we're even addressing when it comes to the homosexual, you know, part. You know, is it by choice, or is it, you know, you see the genetically engineered food, you see all of these things, like what's being, how they altering DNA. You know, it has to be something else that's going on when you see this mass inducive of something. You know, especially when it comes to even like with autism. You know, there's a lot when you see a lot of things going on and people scratching their head like, oh, is this normal? It's just natural. You've always had people that were, you know, so-called LD, you know, all these different things, not realizing, okay, it has to come from some place. It could be a physical thing that's being done to our genes.
I think.
And we know as black people, they've always messed with our our genes and DNA to try to figure it out, our melanin and whatnot. From the Tuskegee experiment to going back to slavery, you really do the research on how they used it as guinea pigs to even going up about Hitler. How he, you know, a lot of things today I think that, you know, the wicked scientist is probably actually doing that and throwing distractions at us.
Honestly, I think a big part of it is a distraction, and I'll tell you what I believe a lot of it is for. There's so many other things that's going on in this world that's not being addressed. Crime, poverty, you know, inequalities for things other than someone's sexual activity. And those kinds of things that kind of get lost in the smoke and mirror of, look, we need rights, we need rights, we need rights.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's one of the reasons why I say, why do we keep talking about what somebody is doing in their bedroom when we could be addressing a much bigger issue than the problems that we have in this society? You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
That's my problem with it. Why are we, I don't, but somebody's helping somebody sleep, but I don't care as long as they sleep with my husband, my boyfriend, or whoever I'm seeing. You know? And, but we get so caught up into, oh, no, this person needs the right to be and marry and do what they're going to do anyway. That's my problem with it. It's like, this is what they're doing anyway. If they're doing it, let them do it. That's what they choose to do. That's how they like to be happy. But let's go talk about some things that's really going on. Let's talk about why our children are not being educated. Let's talk about why we're being pushed out the workforce, why we're being paid less than those who are doing the same things that we do. Why we're not able to go to college. You know what I'm saying? Those are the kinds of things that we need to be talking about as a society, because those are what's going to affect the masses. Who somebody's sleeping with, that's their business.
That's true.
That's how
that's
I
true.
See it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I agree with everything y'all said, but my deal was, well, this last 6 minutes that I got, like you said, Coop, a 40-year-old man, an 18-year-old girl, everybody tripping, or vice versa. Whether it's who married Nick Cannon, you know, that old lady married Nick Cannon. Right. Everybody said the same thing. So we as society agreed to homosexual marriage, so we can't get upset when we see someone 16 marry somebody 30, because that state is legal.
And you know what? And I'm gonna
that's
tell you
the law.
I know this is a little bit on a different topic, but it's funny how when Beyonce was on stage acting like a woman and being real sexy, you know what I mean, moving her curves and stuff like that, people were in uproar about her acting like a woman and on stage with her man. That's her, that she was just rubbing on. But then nobody said nothing about Miley Cyrus when she's putting her hand up in somebody else's heard his cry. So, you know, what do you want? Her to stand up there and not act like a woman? I don't know.
All right. Yeah, so you. Hold on for a second.
But I know that's another topic for a different day.
Yeah, I mean, it's a good point. There's a lot of good points from that. From the Grammys on Monday, you spend a whole year just pointing out the issues and what's going on based on our so-called our entertainers or whatever.
Well, yeah, definitely.
So it's a lot of issues about you know, I think sometimes they're being used as well to push certain agendas, and I know the entertainment business is kind of part of that. So yeah, it was a lot that I was looking at that the other night. It was almost sickening to watch it. Even I just watch it so I can know what's going on, and so I can, you know, work around young people, so I can, you know what to kind of counterattack certain things with.
Let me end it on this 3 minutes. I don't think people's tripping on Beyonce being a woman up there. At least she didn't get burnt at the stake. But Katy Perry did. I think they were more tripping on AZ talking about slapping her around, beating her up, either Kick Anime. you know now, what everybody should have been angry at was that performance was just whack. That song is whack. The performance is whack. Jay-Z was stiff. He didn't sell it. She didn't sell it. And you're not talking about the whack performance. You're talking about how she looked dancing hips. Nah, but she was whack. It was garbage. The song was garbage. Jay-Z was whack. Listen. I'm going to say this. When it hit me that Jay-Z had more Grammy nominations than anybody, I was done. It's hip-hop. Hip-hop don't need to dominate the Grammys. You know?
For what?
Done.
For what? Well, what we need that for?
Right. I'm not Michael Jackson. I mean, Prince. It's rap. All I'm doing is busting lyrics. Lyricist, best rap album, best MC. That's it. What else do you need?
I'm supposed to be talking about what's going on. I'm supposed to be popping with it.
I'm going to tell you what I thought was interesting, that all these people were talking about Beyonce, but ain't nobody talking about how many times Eminem dropped the N-word.
Or the best rap album to a white man. I'm just saying. So... the Grammys ain't nothing. I mean, let you know, the Grammys don't mean nothing. The last time when they gave the rap nomination to Fresh Prince over KRS-One, Egg Me Rakim, and It Takes a Nation of Millions to Hold Us Back by P.E., done then. And when I see a full man look like his back is broke, can't dance, eat the cake, Annie Mae, you my wife, I'm slapping you around in front of everybody on the Grammys. Whatever. That's how I be now. You know, it be that way. Like I said, Beyonce career's over.
In the 100 countdown, either, there was not an American.
So, stuff is what it is.
In the whole
Jay-Z should not live the Grammys with 13 nominations. There's no black R&B singers out there. There's no female singers out there. Hey, I mean, that's it? Are we going
to
hip hop now? What extra do with that?
I
mean, what's got?
That's the last nail in the coffin for hip hop, man.
You know what I'm saying? 13 Grammys? Okay, listen, I got to get out of here. New Music Thursday, everybody. Jimmy Underground Radio. I'm burying my grandma. Rest in peace, everybody. Good night. May God be with you.
Good night, Jimmy.